completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. It's awesome to be in the house. Would come and he'd stir up a pool of water, and those that needed healing, those that needed freedom, those that needed a breakthrough in their life, they would wait by the pool for that angel to come down. And it was the first person that had the ability to get into the water that received the miracle. But how many of you know we serve a God that stirs up living water, and that he provides healing, he provides freedom, he provides every breakthrough? And we don't have to be the first one and only person to get into the water, but we all have the ability to enter into the living water of Jesus Christ. We all have the ability to stick our toe in the presence, to jump in the presence, to dive in the presence of God. We all have the ability to have every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights. So this is your season. You do not have to wait for a certain time or a certain season or for an angel to stir up the water. But through your prayer, through your praise, through your worship, you stir up the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to free you, to release you, to heal you. Heavenly Father, we recognize that you are mighty in this house. You are mighty in our lives. You are mighty in our situations and circumstances. And everything that we have need of is in you in this moment, in this place, at this time, through our praise and our worship. Holy Spirit, you have free reign in this place in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Come on, if you feel like praising him, let me hear you shout. Come on, if you feel like praising a marvelous God, let me hear you shout real quick. Hey, okay.
I feel like praising him. I feel like praising him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising him.
Come on and sing that out. I feel like
praising him. I feel like praising him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praise.
Come on, I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good.
Come on and do your little dance.
I feel like doing my dance. I feel like doing my dance. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like doing my dance.
Come on and sing, praise him.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him.
Come on, we want to praise him this morning, right? Thank you. We want to praise him this morning, right? Because he's amazing, he's worth it, he is glorious, he's marvelous, he's just amazing, I love him. So turn to your neighbor and say, I vow to worship and praise my God. Come on. I will praise like never before today. Come on, say it. And now that you said it, let's do that. Let's go.
I feel like praising him. I feel like praising him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising him.
Come on, I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like,
and I don't care what anybody says, I feel like doing my dance.
I feel like doing my dance.
No matter how crazy it might be, you're not dancing for your neighbor. Right, right? But we're dancing to the Lord, so I feel like doing. Come on, just one more time, act crazy and do your dance.
I feel like doing my dance. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like doing my dance.
Come on and sing, praise him. Just praise him right now.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise.
Come on, I want to hear you guys sing, praise him.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise.
Come on and sing that one more time.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him.
Come on and give God a shout. Come on and give God a shout like never before. Come on and give God a shout like never before. Because you want to praise an awesome God. You want to praise a marvelous God, an amazing God. You know what? Pastor,
I feel like praising him.
Come on, you feel it?
I feel like praising him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me.
Testify.
I feel like praising him.
Come on, let's do that.
I feel like praising him. I feel like praising him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising him.
Come on, because this is your testimony.
I feel like praising him.
Because he's been so good to me.
Doing my dance. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like doing my dance.
Come on and sing, praise him, praise him.
Praise him, praise him, praise him.
Come on and sing it.
Hallelujah, you have won it all that again.
Death could not hold you down. No. Death could not hold you down.
And that's why we have victory, because
death could not hold you down. Yeah, Jesus, death could not hold you down. Whoa, you are risen, you are the risen King. Yeah, seated in majesty, you are, you are the risen King. Yeah,
come on, sing hallelujah to Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, you have won the victory.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, you have won it all for me. And death could not hold me.
Time, just sing it out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Jesus has won some victories for you personally. I want to hear a shout of praise right now in this place. Hallelujah. It's not because of anything that we did. It's all about Jesus and what he's done. It's all about Jesus and what he's done. Come on, for the next 30 seconds, I just want you to raise your hands. I just want you to begin to tell him that this is all about him. Stop thinking about what you're going to do after church. Stop thinking about who's standing to the right or the left of you. Fix your eyes on Jesus right now. This is all about him.
About you, Jesus, I'm coming
To please your heart, and I just want to worship you. I just want to see your face. I just want to love. I just want to please your heart. I just want to worship. I just want to worship you. I just want to see your face. And I just want to love on you. Come on and sing that again. I just want to please your heart. I just want to worship you. I just want to see your face. And I just want to love.
Let's say that again.
I just want to please your heart. I just want to worship you.
Sing, I just want to please.
I just want to please your heart. And I just want to worship you.
I just want to worship you.
Show me your glory, Lord. I just want to see your face. Oh, I just want to love.
I just want to see your face.
I just want to see.
Show
your
us your glory so I can love you more. I just want
I just
to
want love
you.
Song, not only as individuals you're singing that, but as the whole church. If you're new here, you're not sure what raising hands mean. The Bible says, lift up your hands without wrath or malice. Simply meaning this, what you're doing is on the outside, you're showing what's happening on the inside, and that is I'm surrendering. So it's not a weird, strange thing. If you're uncomfortable with that, it's your choice. But I just want to, as a whole body, sing this to Jesus. As one, just share your heart with
Come on, it's one.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you.
How we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you.
Father, hear our hearts as one. Lord, this is not about us. This is not about religion. This is all about you. Jesus, we thank you for all you've done in our lives. Lord, it's so easy to forget. Lord, our lives are busy. Things are happening, good and bad. Lord, there's one thing that it all comes back to. It is all about you. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Jesus, thank you for choosing us. Jesus, thank you. Even in the midst of our ugliness, you are always right there. We love you. We really do. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you that you care for us. Holy Spirit, each one of us are so different, and you know each one of us, even the hairs on our head. Spirit of God, we ask that you will minister to each one individually and us corporately. That God will be encouraged, will be strengthened, even some being spanked. Lord, but all as one, moving together as one unit. Our hearts formed and filled and running together in your vision to fulfill your purpose for this place. God, hear our hearts. We want you. We want you. And we want you to be pleased with us. So we surrender right now. And we just want to know, want you to know clearly, it's all about you and not about us. Can we sing that one more time?
It's all about you.
Come on, sing right
it's
to him.
All
sing right to Jesus.
About
sing right to Jesus.
It's all about you.
Rabakere Nibi Shandai.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you.
Hallelujah.
It's all about you. 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 It's all about you.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence in this place. Here comes another flow of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you for being here. We want you to come stronger, Spirit of God.
stronger, Spirit. Holy Ghost, move stronger, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you. Ah, my God, my God, Spirit, whatever you want to do, we just want to obey. We want you to have your way in this place. This is your church, not ours. And you know there are people here, Spirit of God, that need you to touch them. Some of them need to be healed, and some of them need to be encouraged. Some of them, Jesus, need to be saved. We'll do whatever you want to get the results that you desire in people's lives. Because this is not our church, it's yours. There's an individual here on your, just outside, on the front side of your left armpit. I think you have a tumor, or there's a pain in there. There is something there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just speak to it. And I command it right now to shrivel up and die where it's at. God, I thank you, God, that is disintegrating now. Lord, any tissue that has been wounded by it, Lord, will be rejuvenated in the name of Jesus. There's another gallbladder being healed in Jesus' name. There's a lesion on someone's liver. I command it to be gone in Jesus' name. Wow. Holy Spirit. Come stronger. Will you come stronger, Holy Spirit? We love you. Someone here having a very strong battle in your mind. I can't tell whether it's your marriage or just your walk with God. But the Lord says if you'll yield to His word, that He'll bring the answers clearly to you. You've been listening to too many people. They're telling you things that are not from heaven. They're telling you, this is my experience, or I've been through this before, but they haven't because they're not you. If you listen and put the word first, you'll find that God will bring order to the disorder, and the mind will settle because it will come into order to God's word. See, it's at these moments, I don't know what you need, but that's when you start really talking to Jesus, releasing your faith, because if God will touch one person, he'll touch every one of us in this room. Some of you just stand aloof. You stand afar off. God is saying, with your heart, I want you to draw near to me. I have a plan for you and a purpose for your life. Even as you lay in bed and you wonder, and at times you feel this overwhelming loneliness overcome you, and you sit back, and it's not that there are not people around you. There are people around you all the time. In fact, you're one of those individuals that everyone seems to be drawn to, but you're lonely inside. It's because you've yet to really yield to God. And when you do, you'll find fulfillment. It won't be that temporary fulfillment of the world's pleasure, but you'll find the full fulfillment of heaven. Worship you, Jesus. Can we sing this together one more time? Just to Jesus.
It's all about you. 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 It's all about you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you thank him right now? Just thank him. Just start you and Jesus. Start thanking him. Just you and Jesus. God loves you so much. If we actually ever realized how much he loved us, we'd be blown away. He loves you very, very much. Can you do me a favor on your way back to your chair? Can you welcome 5 or 6 folk and say, you know, Jesus loves you. You know, a lot of people haven't heard that in a long time. Go find somebody you don't know. Tell them Jesus loves you.
is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Hey family, we have an awesome opportunity coming up. October 21st is going to be Pastors Appreciation Sunday. We want to show our love, our support, and our appreciation to our senior pastors, Pastors Michael and Rhonda Spencer. We are appreciating our pastors for the love that they give and for the investments that they make in our lives. Because our pastors pour so much into us, we want to be a blessing and pour back into them. So make sure you come with your blessing, October 21st.
His Tabernacle, amazing news. Tap your neighbor real quick. Make sure they're paying attention to this. This is so, so important for who you are and what God's going to do in your life this year. Look, it's the end of the year, but I believe it's going to be the best season. We are starting another season and round of groups. What does that mean? It means everyone should be connected to the family of God because that's how God set it up. And we know it's easy to get lost in the sanctuary, but it's really hard to get lost in someone else's house. It's really hard to get lost sitting around a circle, loving on each other, creating relationships. So I'm going to encourage you, right out front at the information center, there's signups. Also, look around the room. There are group coaches and hosts all over the place. Guys, just put your hands up real quick. We want to encourage you, find somebody, make your way out to the info center, or hop right online. I know you have a smartphone. Go right now to histabernacle.com, click the groups button, and get signed up for a group. They're starting the first week of October. Make sure you're in. Make sure you're a part of a group so that you can grow and you can see your connections rise. We love you. Have a phenomenal day.
God is looking for a man or woman that says, I shall not be defeated. I'm going to kill this devil that has set himself up against me. For if God be for me, then who can be against me? My trust is in God. My faith is in God. I'm going to be all right. I'll wake up tomorrow. I'll still do what I normally do because God is the one who is my present. He was in my past and he'll be in my future.
This morning, Bible declares in Psalms 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You are to be glad in this place. Let's try that one more time. Who is happy to be in the house of the Lord? Come on now, you are brilliant for getting out of bed, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, putting on some clothes, thank you, Jesus, and coming to the house of the Lord to experience with one another as a family the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We're so thankful that worship was so powerful. We're thankful that the word is about to come on. We just have a few announcements for you guys. Is that okay? All right. First of all, we want to just recognize our first-time attendees. If this is your first time attending His Tabernacle, can I just see your hand up like this? Awesome. Awesome. Come on, guys. Put your hands together for our first-time attendees. If you did not receive a welcome bag, please just keep your hand lifted up. My man, right? I'm so happy that you're in church. He stopped by my office and he said, I want to get plugged in, and here he is. Awesome. So if you have not received a bag, please keep your hands lifted up. Inside that bag, there is a mug. Ooh, there's so many people. Can we just clap one more time for all of our guests? This is amazing. There is one right over here, one, two, three, four, five rows back. Inside the bag, there will be a mug. There will be some information about our church. But most importantly, I want to invite you to a guest reception we have. After service, it will be on this side of the building. It is roped off with the red carpet. You cannot miss it. I want you to come over, have some coffee, have some donuts with us. Just get to know a little bit more about us as we get to know more about you. Amen? Also, we want to welcome our live stream audience. Come on, can you guys give them a round of applause? We're so thankful for your faithfulness every single week to be tuning in. You are part of our family. Amen? So if you have your bulletin, can you just wave it in the air? Awesome. If you have not received one, please find one on the way out. It is a right affixed to the wall. There are so many things going on at our church. We do not want you to miss out. We are a busy church. We are an active church, but above all, we are a church that loves you. And we want to ensure that you are plugged in, you are equipped, and you are empowered to become everything that God wants you to become. Amen? So I want to encourage you as you leave today, check your bulletin for everything that's going on this week. Let's have Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. You know, it's not just a religious thing that we do when we come in this place. It is the power of God present. And in one moment of being in the presence of God like we were this morning, He can change everything. He can shift everything. I don't care if you've had stuff that wouldn't move for 51 years. In a moment in God's presence like we were this morning, it can all change and shift for your good. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. And as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, first, Pastor and I would like to say how much we absolutely love the privilege and honor of pastoring this church. You truly are, and I can say you are the best church in the whole wide world. We just love you so much, and we love the honor of being your pastors. I want to read a scripture this morning, James 1:25, and it says, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, this man shall be blessed. This man shall be blessed, the one that does the word of God. So I have a couple of testimonies of blessing that I heard this morning. It's great to come to church early, spend time in the foyer, stick around a little bit afterwards, hang out and talk to people. You get to hear about all the good things God is doing. So in case you slipped in and you didn't get to fellowship with anybody in the hallway, I'm going to, actually it's a foyer, I think, not a hallway. In the foyer, I'm going to share those testimonies with you of what God has been doing. So one testimony was a woman has been out of work for 3 years and just applying and trying to find work and couldn't find anything. And she was just crying out to God, and finally she said, I just gave it over to God. I'm like, God, whatever you want, she said. And within that same week of just giving it over to God, she got a phone call for the job that she actually wanted, the best job, and she's hired on that job. God is so good and so faithful. Then we had a young couple with a brand new baby, and they went to the doctor's. And the doctor said that they were going to have to do surgery immediately on this baby's stomach because there was something really, really wrong. And the parents got together, they prayed, and they said, you know what, doctor? We want you to do one more test. Do one more test. And they took that baby back for another test, and it came out completely negative. There was nothing wrong. They're like, we can't understand it. There's nothing there. And she said, I know what that is. That is the blessing of my God. Amen. And when we are doers of the word, we are truly blessed. And so in Malachi chapter 3, it says, to bring all of the tithe into my storehouse. And it says that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. That's the God that we serve. When we are doers of the word and not hearers, we can get frustrated with, why aren't things happening in my life? Why aren't they happening? But we have to make sure we're not just hearing the word, but we're applying and doing the word. And in that, we know we can declare our supernatural declaration. So if you're ready to give this morning, bring the tithe into the storehouse, stand to your feet. We're in this house, we repeat a supernatural declaration. It is simply the word of God. And you know what the awesome thing about this word is? He says that it will not return void, that it will accomplish what it is sent to do. So how many of you have some stuff that needs to be accomplished in your finances? When we're doers of the word, we know that the word shall fulfill exactly what it is sent to do. So as we declare this morning, I want you to prophesy it over your life. Declare it over your finances. And it him. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping my hands. Sing praise. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him.
Amen. God is good. Boy, I tell you, you know, I need you to look at the person next to you and say, you got some work to do. Now, let me tell you what that means. First service, they ran out of parking spots in the parking lot. So, come on now. I'm believing that you guys are going to outdo first service. How many are interested in filling your row? There weren't many of you. Come on now. We got to make sure that you guys can't lose the first service. Can I hear amen? You can't let them beat you. I'm believing we'll be able to fill this house on second service just as much as it is on first. And we're just going to see. Hi, honey. It's good to have you back. Today I'm going to be teaching more than preaching. I hope you don't mind. But I want to see you successful. Everybody, how many of you want to be failures in life? Nobody? How many just don't care? No, don't raise your hand, please. How many want to be successful in life? Amen. You know, I've honestly never met somebody who said, I can't wait to be a failure. You know, most everybody wants to be successful. There are people, though, that just kind of like float. And I want to encourage the floaters this morning, if that's you, that God's going to spur you on to another level. But I believe that everybody deserves to be successful, that God's plan is for everybody to be successful. And so with that, we must learn how God works the plan. You see, we can have our own plan, but how many of you know you messed up your own life pretty good? How many messed up your life at least once? Josh, you didn't raise your hand. How many messed up your life at least twice? Josh, you still haven't raised your hand. I'm going to let Josh preach the gospel this morning because he's better off than I am. Honestly, though, it's real. You know, we've all messed up our lives. We've all come into situations where we thought we knew what we were doing, and we realized real quick, we don't got a clue. Can I hear an amen? And so God has a plan, and God's plan always works. When you learn to work the Word always works. So there's a need to make sure we implement God's principles that will always bring success in our life. So when we apply God's Word to us, we know we're going to be successful. You know, when God started His church, it was something very different from what it is in most churches today. We've come into churches now where there are so many different types that you can go to. You can choose from so many different types. You've got preaching churches. You've got teaching churches. You have preach-teaching church. You have church that doesn't do anything. I'm sorry. We have churches that we call seeker-sensitive churches There are churches that don't want to offend anybody, don't want to make anybody upset, so they only say what's nice and pretty. We have churches that now no longer even preach the gospel. We have churches now that are completely contrary to the word of God. There are so many different types of churches out there, so there's a need to get back to the divine design that God had for his church. There's a need for us to go back and say, God, you are the head of the church. Christ, you are the head of the church. What is your desire for your church to look like? What did you design your church to be successful? You see, I just happen to believe that I am not the head of this church. Whew. I really want you to know this. I am not the head of this church. I am the pastor of the church. I am a spiritual parent in the church, but there is only one head of the church, and his name is Jesus Christ. And in that, I believe that I don't have the right to tell God how to run his church. I believe it's our responsibility to open God's word and say, how do you want your church to be run, and what do you want your church to be? Now, what's really interesting in today's society is that small church has become something very popular. You know, I've actually had people come up to me and say, well, Pastor, I'm moving on. And I say, well, what are you moving on for? And they'll look at me and say, well, because, you know, this church is just too big. Well, you need to know that my response is always nice. But inside there's raging going on. My raging is, number one, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? If you don't like big church, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? Hide in the corner? You don't think heaven's going to be unpopulated, I hope. I mean, it's going to be packed out, people just shouting and dancing. Well, you know, your church is a little exuberant, Pastor. Man, we're just trying to get you ready for eternity. Man, when you see Jesus for the very first time, you're not going to go, hey. When you see Jesus for the first time, it's going, hey, that's the one who washed my sins away. You're going to run and fall at his feet and declare him to be good, declare him to be God. You're going to shout, you're going to dance. Listen, the Bible says that God spins and dances over you. What do you think you're going to do when you're in his presence? Man, it's going to be awesome. Man, and then you've just got that mentality, that small church mentality. Amazingly enough, in America right now, the average church is about 70 people. Now listen, I know that church size can be relative to the community. There are churches that are I know a church right now, a friend of mine, he pastors a church of about 120 in a town of 2,000. That's a mega church in that town. Can I hear an amen? But it can still grow. But what's happened is there are a lot of individuals that don't have the mind of God. The mind of God has never been small church. The mind of God has never been, well, you know, Pastor, I don't want to go to a big church. I feel disconnected. Let me share something with you. If you go to a small church and it's not growing, then it's not doing the will of God. Because every church should see salvations. Can I hear an amen? That was awful weak. I said every church should see salvation. Can I hear an amen? Every church should see people baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Can I hear an amen? Well, you know, I don't know if I believe in the tongue thing. Well, let me show you something. What's really powerful is that God would not even launch his church in Acts chapter 2 until after they were filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. He declared that that was so important that he wouldn't launch his church without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if God, the creator of his church, wouldn't launch his own church without the baptism of the Holy Ghost with an evidence of speaking with other tongues, then why do we believe we have the right to extract the Holy Ghost from the church and say, we'll do it our way? Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, it's time to get back to the design of heaven. A church that is small, don't despise small beginnings. There's nothing wrong with it as long as it's going to grow. Every church should grow into a mega church. Can I hear an amen? Every church should grow into a large church. Can I hear an amen? Because every church that's doing the will of God will see increase, because by nature, God does increase, not, he does not go smaller, and he does not, what's the word I'm looking for? Stagnant. That's really not the word I wanted, but that's a good one. Not detract. Let's find another word. Let's say mundane. No, it's not a good word. Can we find another word for me? No, I don't want to do digress. Maintain. Can you give Pastor Aranda a hand clap this morning? I'll pay her for that one. Sometimes hard to find words. I want to take you on a quick adventure of the scripture showing us that God never thinks small church. In fact, how many of you know that when the Lord said in Acts chapter 1, he said, go tarry in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father. They went to Jerusalem, 120 of them, and they were in the upper room for 10 days. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, and suddenly, all of a sudden, the sound of a rushing mighty wind came through. So loud, come on now, so loud it drew the attention of the Jews that were walking around on the outside of the building. Not only that, the Bible says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then all of a sudden, man, they were outdoors, and they're just shouting and praising God in so many, I think it was 14 different languages that they themselves didn't know as they were speaking in tongues, that the people around them got to hear the great things about Jesus. Man, and all of a sudden, Peter stood up. Man, we all know Peter. This is the one that denied Jesus three times. But after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, got boldness and got power, but you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. All of a sudden, man, the power of God is rushing, and Peter stands up and preaches the very first message. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It was the power of God unto salvation. And that day, something happened. The church was launched. It was not launched with 51 people or 17 people or 73 people, but that day when Peter preached the gospel and he gave the altar call, 3,000 men gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't include, come on now, that doesn't include women and children. So let's just say they do usually give a shout between 10 and 15,000 people got saved the very first day. Now, how many of you have ever thought that 15,000 is a small church? Come on, in today's world, man, you look at a church our size, and our size, we have about 750 to plus on a Sunday morning. Let's just say we'll have 750 people in the building. We have another 200 kids that we bus in throughout the week that aren't here on Sundays. We have at least 200 to 300 people on live stream every single Sunday. And plus, we're ministering to between 10 and 15,000 people on the television every single Sunday. We're doing great work for the kingdom of God. But honestly, this is still a small church. Pastor, how can you say that? Well, there's 88,000 people in our county. Right now, let's just talk about the people that are sitting in the building on this Sunday. There'll be at least 750 people in the building this Sunday. That is less than 1%. You see, I happen to believe that God loves all people. Can I hear an amen? That it's God's will that none one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe it's God's passion and God's desire to drain hell and to fill heaven. I believe that God, he so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's God's passion to bring somebody from death to life, darkness to light. It's God's passion to bring and to give somebody hope and design and purpose. It's God's desire to do that. And we are the people that bring forth the desire of God to this land. We are the people who are the mouthpiece of heaven to the world. You see, we are the church of Jesus Christ. His hands, his feet, his mouth, the power of God will flow through us to set the captives free. You see, we're the church. We're not weak, but we are strong. You see, this is the power of the church. Now listen now, if it stopped there, then we have about, let's just say, 10 to 15,000 souls saved in the very first service. That's pretty good. Can I hear an amen? I wouldn't mind having an altar call that size. That'd be great. That'd be fun. But then two chapters later, in Acts chapter 4, we see them preaching the gospel and we see things happening in the Spirit. A miracle occurred. And that day, after the preaching of that word, another 5,000 men gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. 5,000. That doesn't include women and children. That's just men. So they figure another 15 to 20,000 people have given their hearts to the Lord. So let's just be conservative. Within the first four chapters of the book of Acts, there are at least 20,000 people born again in Jerusalem. How many of you would consider that a small church? You see, the mentality of today is, well, you know, small church is the way to go. We're more intimate. Now, you see, God, who is a master planner, knew that when we have large church, there's a need to do something to make also an intimacy factor for us to grow and to mature in. And today, that's what I want to talk to you about. Because many of us are not involved in God's plan. We're involved in our own plan of spiritual maturity. Turn to someone and say, it's time to grow up. Tell somebody else, it's time to grow up. Honestly, we have a lot of believers that they love the Lord, but they're not mature. We're talking people that have been saved 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years that still are not mature Christians. Just because you've been saved an amount of years and decades does not make you mature. Maturity is not in your age. Maturity is in your life. So many people are comparing themselves with the years that they've been born again, but truly are genuinely very immature in the kingdom of God. And the Lord wants us all to grow up, because let's be honest now. When you start handing a six-month-old a chainsaw, you know you got issues. But when you hand a 52-year-old a chainsaw who's very immature, you still have issues. Can I hear an amen? So the issue is not your age. The issue is your maturity. So God has a plan. I love him so much. He has a plan for you to grow up. He has a plan for you to go from babyhood to adolescence to maturation to where you're going to be a reproducer, where you're going to be a trainer, where you're going to be a parent in the spirit, where you're going to help build other people. You see, there's nothing more exciting. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Listen now. Now you can become the richest person on the planet. You can be the person who has the greatest ability to speak into people's lives. But without the Spirit of God, you still can only usher death. The Word of God is still life. And when we mature, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having success. But couple the success, couple the money with being spiritually mature, there's nothing that can get in your way. You see, this is where God's Spirit wants to bring his church. The verse that we're going to use and show you very clearly is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly. Everybody shout steadfastly. What does that mean? That means you don't stop. How many people here start and stop, start and stop, start and stop? You start flowing, you stop flowing. You start being faithful, you stop being faithful. You start reading your Bible, you stop reading your Bible. You know what's amazing? Statistically, most Christians have never read their Bible once all the way from cover to cover. Here's another one. Most pastors have never read their Bible from cover to cover. The average pastor now only prays 5 minutes a day. It's amazing when you start realizing the starting and the stopping is not the answer. Have you ever met somebody who starts a job, quits a job, starts a job, quits a job, starts a job, quits a job? How many of you recognize that they don't usually become very successful financially? Why is that? Because steadfastness is a key. I've said it for so long. Consistency is everything. Shout it out loud with me. Consistency is everything. There's a need to be consistent. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. You see, the enemy knows that if he can keep you from growing up, then you are going to be a person he's never going to be concerned about. I found a lot of believers, a lot of Christians who have a genuine heart, but truly the enemy is not concerned whether you get to heaven as long as you don't bring anybody with you. And because he has worked so wisely in our lives, he has brought us to a position where we never are discipled, we are never matured, we never truly know the word, we never truly know our authority, we never truly step in our power, we never truly do God's purpose for our life, and as long as we take our last breath alone in our grave, the devil could care less. But I believe without any question that God is raising up, especially in these last days, an army from heaven that is going to do a mighty work for God. They're going to be people who know the word. They know their authority. They know their distinction. They know the power of God. They know how to call those things which are not as though they already are. They know how to say, I don't care what the devil would rail against us. I know how to wield the sword of the Spirit, and I know how to grab the shield of faith. I know how to stand, and after doing all I can do to stand, stand therefore. And I want you to know today that he's raising a body of believers up who's going to say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, and you shall have what you ask. I believe the devil's afraid of a church who believes in the power of healing to cast out devils that speak in new tongues. Why? Because they're a supernatural church, not a natural church. But God can't do that without the church growing up. So to keep us from maturing, he works desperately. The average Christian only goes to church one every 3 weeks. The average Christian, when you size up their life to the world, they do the same stuff. They still have sex outside of marriage. They're still drinking the same amount of booze. They're still using the same language. They still act the same way. There is no difference between the world or the church. I think the percentage, according to Barna, is like 2% difference. But God said, come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. You see, when you and I draw closer to God, when we truly understand God, then we'll move in a new manner. We'll move in a new way. We'll move in a new authority and a new power. Why? Because if God can trust you with the things of the flesh, he'll trust you with the things of the Spirit. But if you can't be consistent with the basis, he'll never trust you with the much. So there's a need to understand that the enemy is working desperately on you. You're dangerous to him. The only difference between success and failure in every one of our lives is the decisions we make. I got to say it one more time. Well, you know, my mother spelled my name wrong on my birth certificate. My mother did that. My name is spelled wrong. M-I-C-H-E-A-L. So whenever I'm mad at her, I just say, you spelled my name wrong. You'd be blown away how many people come to you. Well, Pastor, you don't know the neighborhood I grew up in. Pastor, you don't know my background. Pastor, you don't know, the trouble I've seen. Pastor, you don't understand. But the only difference between someone successful and someone that's a failure has nothing to do with your background. It has to do with your decisions. And spiritually, it's the same thing. Well, this person's seeing more miracles. It's a decision. They've made a choice to go after God greater. Well, I don't feel the Lord. Then press in. You've made a decision to sit in the back instead of the front. Well, Pastor, God can be felt in the back too, but really, if you want him, you're going to run to the front. Why is that? Because go to a concert. Go to watch a rock and roll concert. Does everybody sit in the back? Go, oh. No, they grab their weed, they run to the front, they get stoned. Well, why is that? Because they want to be where the action is. You see, there's a decision that has to be made in the spirit realm. And every one of us in this room have made decisions in the spirit. We've made decisions when it comes to God. We've made decisions when it comes to growing up in Christ. We've come to decisions when it comes to discipleship. And man, those decisions are either excelling you into the walk with God, or they're decelerating you in your walk with God, or you're just simply, what was that word? I paid you 10 bucks. You better come up with it again. Maintaining. I'm not paying you again either. How does he do that? There's really two ways that he works so desperate in your life. Number one, probably the number one way is called isolation. You see, the enemy knows that if he can isolate you, then you yourself really are going to do very little. I love the people that say, well, I don't believe in organized religion. And I look at them and say, then blame God, because he organized his church. Just blame Jesus. It's his fault. God's the one who created the church, launched his church, and then he set his church in order. It's God's job. It was God's fault. If you don't believe in organized religion, then there's a real problem. I've always loved this. They say to me, well, I do ministry outside of the church. Well, I do too. But where are you going to bring them when they get saved? Oh, they're probably not getting saved because you're really not probably leading anybody to Jesus. You see, we come to this place where we twist our own minds up so much that we aren't really thinking the Word of God. We're thinking our own mentality, our own understanding, not God's principles of His Word. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So you see, the enemy desires to isolate you. How does he do that? Well, let's just talk about why he's afraid for you not being isolated. You ready? Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. All of your enemies will fall beneath your sword. I love that. Matthew 18, verse 19. And I tell you this, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, shout anything. Anything you ask, my Father in heaven will give it to you. You see, the enemy wants to isolate you, to keep you all by yourself. So what's happened is this. Is the body of Christ, somebody comes in, gives their hearts to Jesus. It's a genuine conversion. We try to move them into a discipleship ministry, and they choose not to because they're too busy. I want you to know, and I want everyone to hear me clearly. We are all busy. But when you cannot take the time to be discipled, you're too busy. Why? Because it doesn't matter what you acquire. It matters who you are. So when you are not growing in Christ, it does not matter your acquisition on the planet. Everything that is not done for Christ will not last. The only thing that's going to matter when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ is, did you do my will? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not if you love me, do whatever you want. Now listen, can I make a confession? I'll make a confession. You know, I grabbed my iPhone this morning. I've never seen this before. But on the iPhone is this thing. I forget what they call it. What's that? It's called screen time. What it does is it actually tells you your amount of time on your phone and where. I saw it this morning, and you can break it up from a day to a week. So the first thing I saw was yesterday I picked up my phone 64 times. Jesus breaks every fetter. Let's move on. I then looked at last week, and I spent 11 hours on social media. Now listen, some of it was stalking you. So let's just say I spent 7 hours on social media in 1 week. Am I really that busy? See, most of us will find we're really not that busy. It's just what we want to put a priority to. Again, our success is dependent upon decisions. And every decision we make determines our level of success. And we sit back and we wonder, you know, Pastor, you know, I want to do this. I want to do this for Jesus, but I don't have time. Really, that's not true. I love it when people come up to me and say, Pastor, I don't have enough money to tithe. I say, do you live on a budget? They always tell me no. You see, I know if you don't live on a budget, you're probably not going to tithe. Well, why is that? Because you're spending all your money. And when you actually do research on where you spend your money, you waste more money than you would ever have tithed. Everything is based on decision and what we do with our time and what we do with our finances. And listen now, don't tell me you believe something until you show me. Why? Because show me says this. What you actually believe, your actual core values, are where you spend your time and your money. Oh, that's good preaching now.
Yay.
Your next way that the devil really gets you is that most people in the church are visitors. What do we mean by that? There's an old statement called kicking the tires. Who's ever heard of kicking the tires? The younger crowd hasn't heard of that. So let me explain what kicking the tires means. You know, you need a new car, right? So what you do is you go to the car parking lot. You know, you go to the car dealership and you go out to the parking lot and you start looking at cars and you look at this car and say, now that's a nice car. So the salesman comes over. Nick comes over. Where's Nick? Nick, where are you? Nick! Nick, come here. So you go to the Ford dealership, and Nick is the salesman. Now listen, you won't get a better salesman than Nick. He's a really good salesman. It is true. So here he is, you know, he's at the car dealership, and I'm walking around. I say, I like this car, and Nick says to me, you should buy it. And I said, well, let's go talk numbers. So we go back to the place and we start talking. And Nick says, now you need to put a deposit down. I don't want to put a deposit down. That means I'm just kicking the tires. Until you make a decision on something, you're not committed to something. You're still kicking the tires. Thank you, Nick. You did so well. There are many people. The devil can't isolate you, but he'll stop you from being a participator and make sure that you're just a visitor kicking tires. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You ever met that person? Maybe at your house even. Maybe you had him at your house. You had him at the house and there was a football game on. And they're jumping and shouting. What's wrong with you? Put him on the sideline. He can't do anything. My goodness, put in a new QB. He's missed so many. And he's shouting, man. He's just telling everybody what to do. He's the coach. He's the coach from the television. Or maybe your children play football and you're the mother sitting on the bench telling the coach how to run his team. Until you get kicked out of the football game. But here's an interesting thought. Until you're on the team, you don't even know the players. Until you're on the team, you don't even know the plays. Until you're on the team, you're not even considered there. You can be in the sidelines all you want. You can shout all your direction all you want. But baby, until you're in the game, you're really just a bystander. And this is how the enemy has worked in so many of our lives. He's gotten us so busy. We are no longer participating in the family of God. We are no longer participating in the kingdom of God. We are watching it. Listen now, it's very interesting to me how somebody can watch the church from afar, get mad because they don't like what the pastor does, what the people do, and they'll leave the church, but they won't leave their football team. I can't understand you Bills fans. Man, you just confuse me. I'd have shifted teams a long time ago. She's so bad. But she is a straight-up Bills fan. And I've tried to make her a Patriots fan. But no matter how many times the Bills lose, consistency is everything. But what's happened is I've watched people leave the church because they'll shoot it from the sideline. They've never participated in the game. See, the enemy works so desperately to disconnect you from why and what God has planned for you. We don't mind watching. We don't want to participate. Some of us just simply isolate. But no matter what the condition is, the enemy is working in your life to make sure that you're not going to get discipled, that you're not going to be part of the game, that you're not going to be one shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000. He's not going to use you. Why? Because you're not in the game. I'm almost done. God has a plan. And like I said, this is more of a teaching sermon than preaching sermon. God has a plan for you. Because the church grew so quickly, because the church got so large, he had to have a plan to make sure that people would still be intimate in friendship, still be intimate in discipleship, still know how to grow and to be like and around people. How many of you know iron sharpens iron, the scripture says? How many have been around somebody that you just don't like? You get near them and your hair goes up. But you got to love them in the love of the Lord. What's happened is God's plan is so clear. You know what I love about the Lord is he's not leaving us guessing on how to do what he has created. He said, this is what I want. Peter got up, preached the gospel, 3,000 men got saved. They saw some miracles in Acts chapter 4. Another 5,000 men got saved. The church is rocking and reeling. The church is growing. The church is growing daily, the Bible says. But there was something that had to happen to keep it in line. And that is something that I want to chat with you about real quickly. And it says it in Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple. You know what that means? Just like this right here. The Bible's saying that they continued right here just like having church like we are. But something was added here that the church don't like to talk about because we're so busy or isolated or simply kicking tires. He said, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as those that were being saved. So here we go. They met together like we're meeting together today. There was a mass church in Jerusalem. We know that James, the brother of Jesus, was the senior pastor of that church. We know that the apostles remained in Jerusalem, called the Council of Jerusalem. That was found in Acts chapter 15. We know they were there, but something else happened to make sure that there was a divine connection amongst the believers, amongst the fellow believers, to be discipled, to grow, to mature, to be challenged, to do God's will. And that was, they had groups. Huh? Oh, this whole sermon's trying to get me to sign up for a group. I get it now. He set us up for the last 2 hours. Don't blame me. Blame God. Because all I'm doing is reading the scripture to you. They met like this, and then they hung out together. They met in homes. They joined a group. Why did they do that? Listen now. I need you to understand, this principle is not a new principle. It's found in the scripture there. But I need you to understand, how many of you realize the United States of America reads the Bible? How many of you recognize the armed forces live by the Bible? No, I don't know if you realize that. The armed forces live by the Bible. They actually do Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. I'll prove it to you. Ready? For instance, an army has more than 50,000 soldiers that is made up of two or more corps. The corps has 20 to 45,000 soldiers that is made up of 2 to 5 divisions. A division is 10 to 15,000 soldiers that is made up of 3 brigades. A brigade has 3 to 5,000 soldiers that is made up of 2 to 5 battalions. A battalion has 300 to 1,000 soldiers that is made up of 4 to 6 companies. A company has 62 to 190 soldiers that is made up of 3 to 5 platoons. A platoon has 16 to 44 soldiers that is made up of 2 to 4 squads. A squad is made up of 9 to 10 soldiers.
Even the army believe in the Bible. The church doesn't, but the army does.
The armed forces know that if they do not set this up properly, that they are not going to have a regimented men and women that are going to fight to win the battle that will bring the freedom back to the United States as necessary. There is a cost, and there is an organizational principle that they even recognize right here in America's armed forces. But the church negated. Can you imagine all of a sudden a whole battalion? Where am I? Battalion, brigade, okay. A whole battalion telling the brigade, what would he be? Brigade what? Colonel? Brigade what? Commander? Sure, the colonel. Can you imagine him telling the colonel, listen, man, we're just tired. I can't do nothing today. All of a sudden, we know this, is that there'd be a problem, wouldn't there? Yeah, there'd be a problem. In the church, we don't think this way. But amazingly enough, God thinks this way. And amazingly enough, the world even knows that this works. You see, God created a mass church. He created his kingdom and is still filling his kingdom. And in the church, people are getting saved and set free and born again. This morning, people came up front, gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. This weekend, there was 27 children that gave their hearts to Jesus on Wednesday night. God is moving. God is saving. God is bringing healing and restoration. But watch, God also knows you can do the mass, but without the groups, you can't grow up. So the enemy wants you isolated. He wants you to shout from the sideline but never participate. And if you don't participate, you'll only find the problems and never be part of the solution. So you'll always leave churches and never grow up. See, today, I want to encourage you. The reason that God started groups was so that you and I could grow up in Christ. That you and I could be amongst other people that when there's trouble, listen now, many people still hang out with their friends from the bars. I want to tell you, you keep hanging out with the turkeys, you'll never fly with an eagle. You can do ministry to them, but you cannot hang out with them. That's not your call. Your call is to grow up, because when you grow up, you have more power. When you have more power, then you can minister to those people and see a change come in their life because of the supernatural anointing that you carry. You see, there's a need to know you can't hang out with the turkeys and fly with eagles. You've got to be a person that says, my week is tight. Baby, I am a busy person, but I'm going to make a priority. God's kingdom every single Sunday, and I am going to do a group. Whether I got to lead it or whether I've got to just join it and participate with it, I'm going to get around people that are going to build me, strengthen me, disciple me, make me mad. Nothing wrong with being made mad. It brings out those nasty points in your life you need fixing. When I was in Bible school, they put four guys in a room, very, very small room, two bunk beds. And one guy, it was me, 18 years old, full of vim and vigor, very quiet and reserved. My other roommate was 18 years old, had his first child at 14. My other roommate was 29, just came out of Walpole State Prison and for drugs. My other roommate was 24, from Maine, had never kissed a girl. That's a group. I remember one day my 29-year-old roommate decided to turn on his radio, and I decided just to turn the screw a little bit. So he turned on his radio. We're both on top bunks. I jumped down off the bunk and turned off his radio and jumped back in my bunk. He quietly got down, turned his radio back on, got back up in his bunk. I quietly got down, turned off his radio, climbed back in my bunk. He quietly got down, turned his radio back on. I got down, turned it off. Third time he walked over and he says, listen, man, I had to learn how to take a man's face off in 30 seconds. I went, I don't want to have to kill you. I learned something. I was discipled right there. don't mess with Steve.
He'll kill you.
Everybody here needs to be discipled. Everybody here needs to join a group. I don't know what you like to do. We have groups that are bikers. We have groups that are, I don't know, they should do a weightlifting one. I would never go to it. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. They've got every kind of group, kind of people. We had an old person's group this morning. Let's keep moving. But everybody needs to join a group. But pastor, listen, I didn't tell you need to join a group. The Bible told you need to join a group. If you want to grow up in Christ, you need to be part of a group. Are you saying I can't come to the church anymore if I don't join a group? No, I could care less. That's your choice, because your choice determines your level of the things of God. I don't have to stand in judgment for you as long as I give you the opportunity. I'm smart. But I do it the Bible way. Can I hear an amen? And so I want to encourage you. Today there are sign-ups out there. You can sign up online, but you need to sign up for a group. You need to join some group. You got a group? What's your group do? Yeah. Will they do a women's group? That's women's group? Oh, they do a group on, Robin Savard does a group on Wednesdays. Hers is full. There's no, I don't care what they are. Who else has a group? Bring a chair. Who else has a group? Oh, the Barbies got a group. Their group is growing all the time. They're really fun. Who else has a group here? Oh, you guys, you got a group in Tawanda, right? Group in Tawanda. G's got a group. Yep, you got a group. Who else got a group? Oh, right there, oh, Aunt Queenie and Uncle Harold, how old are you, Uncle Harold, 97? He's 83 years old, man. Don't grab that dog by the tail, he'll bite you. He's a strong man. Uncle Harold's got there, Aunt Queenie got a group. Who else got a group here? Where? Oh, that's right, David in the back, very good. Who else got a group over here? Oh, the Vanderchek's got a group, great. Who else got a group? Oh, you guys got a group, where's yours? Is your group moving? Their group is moving to Spencer Van Etten. Glory to God. Listen, there's groups everywhere. There's all kinds of groups. You know what? Take time. I know they have a marriage encounter group. Some of you need some encounters. There's so many different opportunities for you to grow up in Christ. Now let me tell you, as your pastor, I'm really done, really I am. I've only preached 2 hours and I'm good. My goal is this. We're going to be the largest church in this entire region. We already are, but we're going to be the largest church in this entire region. Listen, not just to be the largest church in this entire region. We've got to do something. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. All the signs in the time are done. There's no more signs that need to be done. It's all done. Jesus can come today. If there's ever a time for the church to wake up and be the church, it's now. And I don't know about you, we got to do this thing. And I challenge you not only to get saved if you're not saved, not only get filled with the Holy Ghost if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, but join a group as quickly as you can. Why? Because, man, you're going to grow. And then God's going to use you to grow other people. There's nothing more exciting than watching God use your life. Bow your heads with me this morning. I love this message because it's really how your life continues to change. You see, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, your life changes. He comes in and he washes your sins away. You become a new man, a new woman. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's awesome. But that's the start, not the end. Then you join a group right there. House to house, fellowship, koinonia. Where they grew together and matured together and discipled, and they got souls saved. The church was added to daily. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the very first place you got to start is that divine connection with God. You need to be saved. You need your sins washed away. Listen, I'm not telling you to join a church. You can't join this church. We don't have membership. But what we have is Jesus. He is the Son of God who died and rose again on the third day. And he loves you. And he wants to wash your sins away, give you purpose and hope and direction. He has great plans for your life. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior and you want him in your heart, you want to start your new life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Come on, don't wait. Don't waste a lot of time. If you want Jesus in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now real quick. Go, 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 go. 5, 4, 3. Oh, baby, if she don't want it, she don't want it. It's good. 3, 2. Last call and one. I'd like the prayer team to come around the front of the altar. I'd like Mindy to come right on over here, honey. Today, can we all stand as we're getting ready to be dismissed? I thank you for giving me your ear. I pray that the word of God went into your ear gate, your eye gate, your spirit man, and transforms you. Today, if you didn't raise your hand but you want Christ, Mindy's right here. Can everybody turn to the person to your right and your left and say, if you raise your hand or didn't raise your hand but want to go forward, I'll go with you. Can you tell the person next to you, I'll go with you? Don't assume they know God. Don't assume. Assumption's the lowest form of knowledge. So if you'd like to receive Jesus, right here. Mindy's right here. She'll pray with you. If you need prayer for anything else, I want you to know these folks here know how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. They know how to cast out devils. And if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they'll lay hands on you. You'll get filled with the Spirit, speak with other tongues as your initial evidence, and God is going to use you, take you to another level. But here, as your pastors, we want you to know this. Hang on, baby. It's only going to get gooder. God's going to use you in a phenomenal manner. We're going to take this region for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? We're going to be a footprint, and we're going to make a massive dent in the devil's domain in this entire northern region. We're going to kick him in the teeth and say, to God be the glory, great things he has done. And I'm glad you're running with us. Hang on for the ride, baby. But remember, it's time to grow up in Christ. Amen? I love you. Father, bless each one as they go today. Lord, use us this whole week for your honor and your glory. Let us lead at least one soul to Jesus. And Father, we thank you as we join a group that, God, you're going to put us around people that will build us, strengthen us, challenge us, and, God, even at times irritate us. We thank you for family, for the glory of heaven. And everybody in agreement shouted, I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Have an awesome day. We have a guest reception. If you're our guest, if you'd like to make your way over to the guest reception room, we'd love to meet you.